Well, week one of the election campaign is nearly done and the dividing lines are clear. The Coalition's pitch is to those who have a go, while Labor spruiking a fair go for everyone. No matter who wins, though, there are some tough questions ahead to steer our nation through weaker economic times and flagging living standards. A new report from the independent think tank, the Grattan Institute, is calling for the next generation to stare down special interests and get to work on issues like climate change, housing, superannuation and healthcare. They've called this the Orange Book, which is a bit of a play on the Blue Book and the Red Books, which are the books that the public service prepares for an incumbent government, whether it's Red, Labor or Blue Coalition. John Daly is the Grattan's chief executive. John Daly, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you.
Australia's had a record run of economic growth, nearly 28 years without recession. So looks like we're doing pretty much everything right. And yet you've got a long list of things that you think we're doing wrong.
Well, we think we're doing really right. But one of the things we've done in the Commonwealth Orange Book is take 10 countries that we like to compare ourselves to, places like Canada, Germany, Japan, so on, and say, how are we actually doing? And the short answer is, look, patchy at best, not as well as we like to think. We're quite a long way behind on housing. We're a long way behind on energy. We're behind on schooling. We could be doing a lot better than we are. And when you look at the history, particularly of the last 12 years or so, that we have done far less in the way of economic reform than we did in the previous 25 years.
Yeah, in fact, you say that the next government revive Australia's proud tradition of enlightened public policy. What do you mean by that?
Well, one of the things we did was simply look at all of the big reforms that we could think of economically over the last four sets of governments going all the way back to Hawke Keating. And when you look at that picture that's in the report, it really is clear there was a lot of reform under Hawke Keating. It really was true. There was quite a lot of reform under Howard. It really was true. You look at Rudd, Gillard, Rudd, Abbott, Turnbull, Morrison, and there hasn't been nearly as much. And indeed, of many of the substantial reforms that those governments have enacted, they've in fact then been subsequently rolled back, or they've proposed them and then walked back from them. So it's things really have slowed down over the last two governments that we've had.
One explanation of that is the low-hanging fruit of reform has been picked, of course, by those earlier governments. But the other thing, as you say, is that governments change and major reforms are being wound back. That was a good example of that is in the climate change energy space, where the Rudd-Gillard governments, or the Gillard government in particular, I think, made some significant changes in energy policy, and they were completely unwound by the Abbott government. But now, at the moment, we've been in the midst of a pretty ferocious debate over this. What are you calling on the next government to do, whatever colour it is, whatever stripe it is, the next government to do in terms of coming up with a credible policy to tackle climate change?
In terms of climate change, you could do a lot worse than the National Energy Guarantee with the climate bits in it that the Coalition was originally proposing about 12 months ago. It's not the best policy you could come up with, but it's certainly a lot better than where we are at the moment. It's also integrated with the reliability of the network, which is an issue that we do need to keep worrying about. And then you would also need to have a series of policies that one way or another constrain emissions in all of the sectors that are not electricity, so everything from heat that's used in industrial processes and, of course, transport and a number of other sectors. So those are the kinds of things we need to do if we're really going to make a difference.
So do either of the major parties come close to making the grade at the moment in terms of their policies in this election?
So the ALP's policy at the moment on climate change is not a million miles away from the kinds of things that you would need to do. I don't think it's perfect, but one thing I've learned in 10 years at Grattan Institute is you don't need to be perfect, you just need to be substantially better than where we are at the moment.
And what about housing? Where are we failing on housing compared to the rest of the world?
So on housing, we have fewer dwellings per adult than pretty much any of those 10 comparator countries. And that's essentially because we've run a really strong migration program for well over a decade now, and we have made it relatively difficult to build new housing because of the way that we set up our planning regime. And that means that, not surprisingly, we spend more on our housing relative to our incomes than a lot of other countries, people in a lot of other countries. So we could be doing a lot better, and that's primarily going to be about changing planning regimes. That's primarily an issue for the states, but there are things that the Commonwealth can and should do on that. It should be looking at essentially providing monetary incentives to the states and, for that matter, to local councils to try and change their planning regimes or apply them in such a way that we do indeed get the housing we need. It can do a bunch of things that will support, like rebuild something a bit like the National Housing Supply Council, so we're at least collecting the right kind of data. It probably needs to increase rent assistance, which is very tightly targeted at people who are on very low incomes and who can't afford housing. And
what about changes like Labor's got on the table, negative gearing, winding back negative gearing, reducing capital gains tax?
So those things will help with housing affordability a little bit, but we should be honest, it's only a little bit. And the major reasons for doing those things are that they will contribute quite a lot to the budget. They are distortionary tax exemptions at the moment, so that they effectively distort savings investment away from where it would naturally flow and get the highest return. They're also highly aggressive. They essentially benefit the top a lot more than the bottom, and there's no particularly good reason to have them.
Okay, we've only got 2 minutes left. Let's whiz through a couple more. The health system, Australia's health system is world-class, but you say there's one big gap.
The big gap is dental care. So when you look across what happens to you if you're low or medium income, we pay for you to go to the doctor, we pay for you to have tests, we pay for you to have drugs, we pay for you to go to the hospital, but we do not pay if the disease happens to be a disease of your mouth, and there's no reason to treat it differently.
So you want a universal dental care scheme?
A universal dental care scheme was a good idea.
And what about tax, the major battleground so far in this election? The coalition brings to the table a significant change of basic flattening income tax brackets out, you know, 10 years hence. Is that where you think we should be heading?
So those tax changes that have been proposed, it's not entirely clear how we're going to pay for them. They essentially, in order to keep the budget balanced, they essentially assume a very substantial reduction in Commonwealth spending, or more accurately, much slower growth than we've seen at any stage over the last 50 years. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is they
are not going to get... You mean in order to bring in those taxes, they'd need to cut spending to other areas?
Well, they need spending growth to be much lower than it's been over the last 50 years.
Well, the Treasurer told us yesterday they factor that in because more people will be in work and there'll be less people on welfare, so those costs will come down.
It would need to be a very radical shift in the Australian economy for that to have that kind of impact. And it would also need to be a radical shift in the way our politics is done. You would need to assume essentially we were not going to put any more new drugs onto the pharmaceutical benefits system, that we were not going to decide to pay for anything else.
And just briefly, less than a minute left now on this one, but you talk about soft corruption as an issue in our politics. What do you mean?
We like to think of Australia as a really clean country, but the reality is we are falling behind. And when you look at the sorts of controls we have, or more to the point, don't have at a Commonwealth level over campaign expenditure, donations, lobbying, making ministerial diaries public and all of those kinds of things, the Commonwealth is now less open about what it does than any of the Australian states, and substantially has fewer controls than most countries.
John Daly, well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We whizzed through that orange book. John Daly is the Chief Executive of the Grattan Institute.